Brought up in the church. My thing was the street corner. I grew up underneath the street lights. My friends were my family. I really didn't go home too much. There was some issues that were going on at home that, you know, I really just, it was better off to be out. Hung out with the kids on the corner. Wound up doing what normal kids do. Got caught up hanging out, you know, smoking, doing drugs, stuff like that. And I always had problems with insecurities as I grew up, insecure about myself, who I was. I didn't like myself. I didn't like what I looked like. I was depressed. I'd have my friends come to my house. I didn't even want to go out. You know, and this started and stemmed from when I was young. And as I grew up, I was able to work through it, battle with it. And then I came across going to the gym, which would physically and then make me feel better about myself. So I started going to the gym. I got introduced into steroids, started using steroids. I wound up getting injured underneath the bench one day. I blew my back out. Therefore, I wound up going towards pain medication. From pain medication, I wound up getting caught up in some stuff. But I just want to stand on one of the scriptures. Is Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and they may be proven what is that good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. As I was growing up, I was so conformed to the things of the world that all I cared about was money, being successful, you know, just living a life, carefree. My grandmother, when I was a kid, would always talk about God, and she would plant little seeds and things like that. But when I was a kid, I thought when you come, to, I didn't know when you come to Christ that it's life more abundant, and it's so joyful. I didn't know no better, so I thought growing up that I can't hang out, I can't do certain things, and you know I thought you know your whole life would have to change, and you would have to be this whole nother person. But it's so untrue. There's so much more joy and so much more life when you come to Christ, and it's just truly amazing. It really is. It really is. And the world I got caught up. I got wrapped up in the world. I was in a total darkness. So depressed. I was about to lose everything in my life. I mean, I had a business. I had motorcycles. I had brand new cars. I was making a lot of money. I worked in a chimney company. I was clearing $4,000 or $5,000 a week, you know, take home cash. So, I mean, as so-called of the world, I was doing okay. What people thought I was doing okay, but behind closed doors, I was a total disaster. I was depressed. I didn't want to go on anymore. And then I slowly started losing things. I started noticing I was starting to lose my bike. My truck got repoed. I was engaged in a previous thing before Shanna, and I was with her for 10 years, and it just wasn't working, and I knew I was losing that, and I just got to this dark place, man. I'll never forget it, and it sickens me. Don't mind me, I might get a little emotional, but it was just so dark, man, and the enemy was just banging on me, and just getting in my ear, telling me I was worthless, the world would be better without me, I don't need to be here, my family would be better off without me, you know, just give up, just you know, there's no need for to be on earth anymore. What am I here for? Nothing's going right in my life, nothing's working out, you know, I'm losing everything, I lost my fiance, I lost my business, I lost all my money, I lost everything. So what's left? What do I got left in this world? Just, I might as well just forget it, you know, just take my life. So I went into my apartment. At the time, I lived in a condo, beautiful condo. I actually went and got a vacuum hose, and I attempted to commit suicide. I went to my truck, hooked it up to my exhaust pipe on my truck, ran the pipe back into the back of my truck, shut the doors, and I never forget this, is that I actually remember walking back into the house to grab a pillow. Like, that's how dedicated I was to just saying it was over. And I remember going back to the van, and I remember just to say, you know what, this is it, Lord. And I remember speaking to him, too, right before I was about to do it. And I said, God, please forgive me. I know when you take your life, you know, but just please forgive me. You see where I'm at. I don't know what else to do. You know, help me. And in that, I remember laying the pillow down on the armrest. By the time that pillow hit that armrest, I had a cop knocking on my window. And I remember the cop looking at me and going, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't care anymore, man." He said, "Let me in." I said, "Nah, I ain't opening the door." You know, because I knew it was going to happen. I knew they were going to drag me out, cuff me, throw me on the ground. I said, "Nah, I ain't opening the door." He says, "Open the door because I'm going to bust the window." I said, "Oh, nah, he's going to break my..." Now I start thinking of my van. He's going to break the window. I'm going to have to pay for it. You know, meanwhile, I'm trying to kill myself, but now I'm thinking about the pain in the window, you know? So it didn't even make sense. So I opened the door. Cop was nice, man. He sat me down. He goes, "Kid, what are you doing, man?" He goes, "You know, I just want to tell you something. You know Jesus loves you, right?" I want to cry. I believe that was an angel that God sent to me. He goes, "Kid, what are you doing? You got so much potential in your life." He ended up being a Christian. He goes, "You got a purpose and a plan for your life. I just want to let you know this. You know, this is just something that's coming upon me. You know, you'll be all right, kid. Things will work out. Don't worry about it." And I remember sitting on the curb. I was maybe 120 pounds soaking wet. You know, I was just a mess. You know, burn holes all in my shirt from passing out with cigarettes on. You know, I lit myself on fire a couple times. I mean, I was a total disaster. And at the point, man, I just was asking for help. And I went into a psych ward. I did about a week in the psych ward, went into a detox program. Still wasn't done yet. Went back out on the street again, started doing the same stuff again, and it just was getting worse. And I remember at the time my dad calling me from Turning Point. He was the director at the time at Turning Point. And he said, "Come on out, kid. You know, come on, start a new life. Come out to Connecticut. It's the promised land here." And I remember going, "I ain't going to Connecticut. I'm Long Island. I'm from New York. What am I going to do in Connecticut? I ain't going there. You're out of your mind." And then at the time, they were doing storefront. And you stand in front of the box. You ask people for donations to come in. I said, "I ain't going to Connecticut to go stand in the front of no box. I ain't going." And I remember getting so lonely in the house and where I was at that I was basically almost homeless at the point. And I remember calling out to God again, you know, saying, "God, what are you doing? What's my purpose in life? There's got to be something better than me than looking at the bottom of a bottle, a pill bottle, or looking at the garbage can with throw up in it. There's got to be a better purpose. There has to be. You know, I believe in you. I know you're there, but there's got to be a purpose in my life. There's got to be." And only to find out 2 weeks later, I wound up making it to Turning Point. I go into the program. It's a faith-based program. It's a 12 to 13-month program. It's where, you know, it's more of a discipling program than what mine is. And in that program is where I met God. And I believe that God sends you certain signs and situations that you know, he calls us. And you know, the phone rings, but are we going to pick it up? You know, it says in Matthew 7, "Knock and it shall be answered." You know, when you look at that picture and you see Jesus knocking on that door, you don't see a door handle there for him to open. The door handle's on the other side for you to open and let Jesus come into your heart. And with that is just, you know, the depression was just getting to me. But I was able to come to the program called Turning Point, and I was able to find God. I'm sorry, this is the first time with me using my notes here. Thank you. I'm sorry.
We're on the edge of our seat.
Where is it? Bear with me. I'm so sorry. But yeah, like I said, at the moment with the cop and all that stuff, I stand on also another scripture. It's Deuteronomy 32:10. "In the desert land, he found me." Found me. "In a barren and hollow waste. Shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye." And I believe even though you're going through various trials and tribulations and it feels like you're in the fire and things ain't right and nothing's working out in your life, and just remember that God's there. He's with you. He'll always be there with you. You know, and I know it's easy to say, and sometimes you're in it and you're like, man, what's going on? And you don't feel the presence. You don't know he's there. But he's there. I know he's there because I know what he did for me, and I know where I was, and I know where I'm at now. You know, I lost 4 years, 4 years of my life that are a complete blur. I don't remember them. I could have hung out with you. I could have went to the played a baseball game. Could have went to the bar. I could have hung out with you for a week, a month. I don't remember you. I still have people come to me to this day or call me and say that they talked, they knew me. I don't remember them. I lost 4 years of my life are a complete blur due to my use and abuse of drugs. But I say all of that to say this is that when I came into Turning Point, I couldn't speak, I couldn't write, I couldn't function. I was a total disaster. And through that, God has worked through me. He transformed and renewed my mind. He's just been a complete blessing to me and what's going on in my life. I graduated the program, Turning Point, after 12 months. And then as I was in the program, here's another thing of God watching and protecting me and holding me and keeping me the apple of his eye is I got into Turning Point. I was there about 3 months, and I was having major pains, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought maybe it was the withdrawals from the certain things that I was doing, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Normally, it takes a couple of months before it actually goes away and whatnot, and I woke up one night in a excruciating pain, and I didn't want to go to any of the staff because, you know, they think that you're trying to get medication or you're trying to do sneaky stuff, and, you know, it just comes with the whole program. So I remember laying in my bed for 2 hours in excruciating pain and just praying for God to just heal me, fix me, please fix whatever's wrong with me, you know. And I remember I heard a voice, and you got to go ask for help. I went upstairs, I asked the staff for help, they took me to the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, my gallbladder had stones in it. And the stone went into my gallbladder, locked up, and my gallbladder was going to explode. So if I didn't go to the hospital that night, I wouldn't even be here today. If I would have stayed in Long Island, I was so medicated that I wouldn't even have felt the pain. I would have died in the bed. I wouldn't even be here. So, you know, even through that, you know, it's just a miracle what God's just doing and what he's done and the things that I see that he's doing in my life. It's just amazing. It truly is amazing to just to walk with him and be with him and to have him in your life. It's unbelievable. And I went into Turning Point, coming from the street, you know, 30-something years old, you know, stubborn in my ways, but another scripture that comes to me is Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for the careth for you. Went into the program, had to humble myself, had to get some structure in my life again, had to learn how to do everything all over again, but this time to do it with God. And the joyness and the fullness that he brings into your life is just amazing. It truly is. It truly is. And at that time, I had to basically take my umbrella of sin so that way I can let the blessings fall upon me. Let me say that again. I had to take my umbrella of sin that I was bearing, put it away to let my blessings fall upon me. And ever since I've done that, I've been blessed. I mean, I'm the director of a program. I have other men's lives that are in my hands that I take care of. I nourish them. I counsel them. They're like my family. I have one gentleman here today. His name's Vinny. He's been with me a couple years now. He's a true blessing to me. Just seeing what God's doing in his life and in his son's life and his family's life, it's just truly a blessing to have him around me and to have him with us. He's family. You know, my cousin Vinny. Hey, cousin Vinny. So But yeah, it's a true blessing. I got my beautiful wife. Now, God has totally restored everything back to me. You know, I'm not making as much as I used to make. I make less now than I did when I was in the world, but I got so much more now that I'm in Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. I got a beautiful wife that he's blessed me with. You have no idea how long I waited for a girl like this to enter my life. And I remember praying to God to just bless me with the one. And babe, you're the one. I love you so much. We have a baby that's on the way. Yeah, I'm praying for a boy. I'm hoping for one. We just got a puppy too, right? Yeah, so we've been blessed. But my heart really has been, you know, I lost a lot of friends this summer due to suicides, depression. You know, it wears on you. I mean, even sometimes people in the church, even me, I still deal with it. You know, sometimes you come to church, you know, everything's okay, you're at church, and everything seems to be fine while you're here, but then you go home, and you're on your couch for a week, you know, you slack off your word a little bit. You know, I'm keen to my depression now because I've been working with it for so long that when I start to notice and identify certain things that are going on and patterns in my life, that I know how to work through them. And the only way I can work through them is I need Jesus. Because without him, I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. It's just impossible. I can't do it. You know, without him, I'm nothing. It blows my mind. It really does. You know, even being here today is a true blessing. That's a testimony in itself, because it's just the way of God speaking to me through other people. We go to a pastor's prayer on every Wednesday, Tuesday. It's every Tuesday with, I got 12 pastors, Pastor Howard, Pastor Casey, Pastor Ken Gray, my father, Pastor Bob, all these major pastors. I mean, years and years of ministry and preaching and scholars, and, you know, and here I am. You know, I'm about three, four years into ministry, and I'm sitting amongst these pastors. And I sit there, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not even worthy to sit here. But he said, no, yes, you are. You are worthy to sit there. So, you know, it's just amazing. And one of the pastors there, out of the blue, he said, listen, I had a dream about you last night. He goes, I had a dream that you were preaching in a church, and you were sharing your testimony, and, you know, you were going from church to church, and people were getting saved, and you were delivering people, and miracles were happening. And I was like, what are you, why? Like, I was like, wow. I couldn't believe it. I was amazed. Only to get I seen Pastor Bob about a month ago after the camp and everything, and he says to me, out of the blue, come to my church. I want you to share. I want you to share your testimony. Once again, God just showing me. You know, I want you to speak. I want you to go out. I want you to just share your heart with other individuals that might be struggling or going through some trials and tribulations with depression, and pray for those individuals, and just to be a light and be a light of Christ, to shine, to show people that there is hope. There still is, you know, this, be happy. There's still life, because the enemy wants nothing to do than just to seek, devour, and destroy, and just take you out. And that's all he wants to do. And especially if you're going to church and you're seeking God, he's going to try even harder. And he's going to come at different ways. You know, there's different ways he works in me. He might not be able to get me in the old ways of what I used to do, but he works in other ways. Yeah, you know, he finds he's the sneakiest of the sneakies. You know, I just went there. I just recently had to go through some stuff myself. I was up at camp. I was with all the kids, which were a little crazy, but they were a blessing. They were good. They were good kids. And I believe that there was a reason and a purpose that I was there. And it just, at the time, the program was at Bristol, and all my kids were from Bristol. So even that was, you know, that was amazing. I couldn't believe it. They were a little rough around the edges, but once I shared my testimony with them, got to them on their level, they were great. They were great kids. They were such a blessing to me. But at the camp, they had the competitions at the end, and Andre was beating my butt, you know, beating me up, you know, every competition he was beating me. And came time for the boat races, and all the kids get in the boat, they paddle, and you have to use your hands. I'm big into the gym, I'm big into working out. Even now I work out, but I work out with Christ in me, you know, and I'm big on the gym, and, you know, I'm big into competition and all that stuff, and he was beating me, and they had this boat race, and all the kids were in the boat paddling, and here I am, the counselor, representing my guys. I'm in the bow of the boat, the head guy, and I see us starting to lose. What does the old me do? Grabs Andre's boat, pulls him back. Basically, I cheated, you know, but I got convicted afterwards, because here I am, supposed to be an example for these individuals, you know, and you know, I run a program, I'm a pastor, and here I am cheating, you know, at a boat race with kids, you know. But in that, you know, I wound up tearing my shoulder, tore my rotator cuff. I have a tear in my left shoulder, and I haven't been able to go to the gym in 3 months. Once again, that I look at that as the enemy, because it's just a way of the enemy to try to come in again. Your shoulder's hurt. It's legitimate this time. You get MRIs. The doctor says it's okay. You know, these things just start being spoken, and, you know, the door's there. Oh, we can write you this. We can write you that. Nah, I've been there. I've done that. Go with accountability. I bring my father to pastor. My wife's always in the doctor's office with me. And I'm always denying. I actually have doctors that want to give me stuff, and I actually have to tell them, no, I don't want it, you know, and they're like, well, we can't do nothing for you. Oh, I know that. That's okay, because I know God, my Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, is going to heal me, and I don't need your medication. I don't need your pharmaceutical stuff. I don't need it, you know. It's just another avenue for the enemy to come in. But the depression, once again, I started noticing it. Wasn't going to the gym. I was on the couch. Things at home were getting a little rough. I just wasn't happy. The gym started taking me out. It was just God showing me. I didn't call you to Christ to be a gym guy. I didn't call you to work out or show yourself off. I didn't call you for that. I called you to speak my word and to go out and explain to people and share with people that who I am. And what I can do for individuals, and that's where I stand here today, to just to be a light of Christ, and to be out there to show individuals that He's real. You know, I'm a walking miracle. You know, only if you guys would have known where I was and where I was at, yeah, it'd blow your minds. I mean, I really, really would. And it's hard. It's hard, because now that where I'm at, it's, even the kids in camp, it was rough for them, because at that age, to be saved and be a Christian is very, very rough, especially with the kids in the neighborhood. They got to deal with the people picking on them and, you know, oh, look at the holier than now. And so I give those kids the utmost credit in the world. And I'm blessed when I see kids that are going to youth and sharing God's word. And it just truly, truly blesses me. It really, really does. But he's just continuing to do miracles in my life. He really is. What else? I'm sorry. So, like I said, you know, it's just, you just got to be on your toes. You have to be aware. You have to be in keen, be in tune with the Spirit. Just be on your guard. Or make sure you always armor yourself every morning with the armor of God. Because as soon as you walk out that door, the enemy wants nothing to do than just to attack. And if you ain't ready, you ain't prepared in the morning, he's going to get you. Because there's sometimes in the morning where I get a call about the program, some guys are arguing what's going on, and I got to run out the door and I forget to do my devotion. By the time I get to the program, 1,000 things just happen to me. You know, it's crazy. You know, it really is. That's exactly what it is. You know, and that's what it is. And like I said before, He wants to keep you busy. You know, so you got to stay in your Word. You got to stay connected. Oh, you know, you have to. If I didn't stay where I was at, and I didn't stay connected to God, and I didn't stay prayed up every morning. That's why in the program, every morning I bring the guys in the office. We pray up before we start the day. It just sets a tone for the whole house. You know, and things just go easy, because I've seen days where some stuff's been chaos and we didn't pray, and the house is just in a complete uproar. You know, it's just amazing how much the Holy Spirit just comes when you pray, and He just dwells with everybody, and He just gives you that peace of all understanding that just makes everything so much easier and smoother in life. It just truly is. He's truly amazing, and He's amazing what He's doing in my life, what He's done in my whole family's life. My father is an awesome, awesome man of God. I'm truly blessed to be able to sit under him and to listen and to just to be a servant for him, and just whatever he needs, I'll be there for him. And we've been friends. He's like my best friend, my father. He really, really is. He loves everybody. He's got an awesome, awesome heart. He truly, truly is a blessing. But I just wanted to just come out, share a little bit about my testimony, let you guys know, you know, what's going on with the program. If anybody has any questions on the program, or if anybody has any friends or people that are in dire need, give us a call. I think I might have a couple pamphlets in the car. But there's no fees, there's no fee entry, there's no nothing. Just come, you know, just show up, we'll take you in. You don't need no money, no finances, no nothing. Just show up with the clothes on your back. I'll buy them clothes if I have to. I take care of their clothes. I get them their licenses if they need to get their license. I'll pay for that. I'll pay for their child support while they're with me. You know, we go above and beyond. And the funny thing is that we don't preach the Word of God. Yes, it's built on a faith base, but we don't preach it. We just show them God's love. And through God's love, believe it or not, I've seen a lot of these guys. Just by watching and seeing us move in the house, they're drawn. Now they want to know about God. Oh, wait a minute. Look at this. What's going on over here? Can we go to church on Wednesday? We want to see what Bible study. I didn't even have to do it. God did it. The Holy Spirit came, showed up, and now they want to know more. You know, it's truly amazing. It really is. I really don't want to take up too much of you guys' time. But I also would like to ask anybody, if anybody wants any prayer, or if anybody's struggling with depression, or if anybody's going through any things or any hard times or any heartache or anything that may be going on in their life, you guys are willing, you're able to come on up. You know, Shannon will be up here, Vinny will be up here. We'll be able to pray for you guys, and, you know, and that's what we're looking to do. We just want to help everybody. We want to love everybody. You know, I don't want to jam. How much time do I, what do I got there? I'm a fast speaker, so I blew through my testimony pretty fast. Shannon, you want to share anything? You have anything you want to come up and share about what God's done in your life and what He's done with you and me? Come on up. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Yes, come on. Come on.
I have my own little testimony. I won't go too far into it, but I was in my own little mess as well before I met Gary, you know, in and out of relationships with dumb guys, and, you know, just in the world, and just, doing my thing, and I was a young mom too. I have a son who is actually 13, so this would be my second child, but, so I went along that path for a while, a single mom, you know, just struggling, and just really just trying to make ends meet for many, many years. And there was I was into drinking a lot. That was basically my thing. And I was a bus driver at the time because it was convenient. It worked for me and my son. I could take him to work. I had the, you know, time off with, you know, with him from school. And it was just a perfect little job. Anyway, in the meantime, I got a second job because I had gone to school. I did, you know, accomplish that through all of the messy trials and tribulations. So anyway, long story short, I had two jobs. Everything was, you know, falling into place nicely. I got a DUI. And it was devastating. I was a bus driver for 9 years. And, you know, and also having a CDL, you can, you know, go to other avenues and later on in the future. Anyway, and I was just in the state of depression and for months. And it was very sad because my son had to see that. It was just day in and day out. Any chance I had, I was in my bedroom. I was in my room, you know, and he would knock on the door, and no, I just need some time to myself. And I wish he was here today to to confess to that, but anyway, it was very sad. So anyway, I went through that for months, and, you know, I just kept saying, I gotta go find another church, because I was in and out of church for, you know, a couple of years. I'd go to one church for a few months, and yeah, I don't like this one, okay, let me go to the next one. Anyway, and that was always one thing my grandmother had planted a seed for, you know, in me many years ago, and I was like, I want my son to be brought up in a church. I want him to know God. You know, and I want him to know God more than I did, because my family life, we didn't go to church, but my grandmother brought me to church. And so through all of this, I said, I have to go back to church. I've got to go back to church. You know, where am I going to go? I'm, you know, trying to think. And I'm like, I knew I didn't want to go back to a Catholic church. That just, it wasn't my thing. So I remember this church out in Bristol called CFC, Christian Fellowship Center. And that's where Gary was kind of associated with them. And they just moved over there when, in December of 2013?
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, and then I started going there in January of 2014. And, you know, not too long after I started going there, it was just like, the first time I went there, I was like, oh gosh, this is it, this is where I need to be. This is totally where I need to be. You know, and it was like, and God just came over me and was like, and I just broke and just, it was just amazing. And then 6 months later, I met Gary.
Late compounds,
and,
we
yeah.
met.
Yeah.
Late compounds.
Yeah, late compounds. We went to the same church, but, yeah, we didn't really see each other.
Yeah.
And so we went in a big group, mm-hmm. a church group, and that's how we met. And then just like right after that, God was just like, here you go. And he put me on a fast track because 6 months after I met him, we were engaged. And then 6 months after that, we were married. And now 3 months after we're married, I'm 2 months pregnant. And it's just like, we got a puppy.
Yeah.
So it's great. God's just awesome. And it's just like, I just let him, you know, the minute I just let him take my life over and just say, Shanna, this is where you're going, left, right, straight, wherever you got to go. If you got to take a step backward because you're moving too fast. And I just look to him on a daily basis. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm all yours. And it's been the best thing. But it's just amazing how God is just always there with you, you know. And, you know, that little voice, you got to go back to church, you got to go back to church, you got to, you know. And he's just... He's an awesome God.
And when God moves, he moves suddenly.
Yes.
Suddenly. Things start happening suddenly. Once I gave my life to Christ, things just started flying. Because I remember being in a program, I remember my dad saying, oh, you're going to find your wife here. You're going to get married. You're going to have kids. And I remember sitting in the program going, what? I'm going back to New York. I'm out of here. They got cows around here. What are you talking about? There's no stores. Where am I? In the boonies? But to come to find out, I love Connecticut. I love the scenery. I just love just everything about it. Like my father said, it truly is the promised land for me. And ever since I came here, I've been blessed. It's just been nothing but fulfillment, and you know, I can't. I sometimes lay in bed and I look at her. And I know that's what's on its way, and I ask God. I said, God, I'm good. I don't know. I'm good with the blessings, you know. But he says, Nah, I got more. I got more for you. I've only begun, you know. And it's just amazing. He really is. He really, really is amazing. Vin, you want to share something? Come on up. Give a little something yourself.
I'm Vinny.
Hi, Vinny.
I met Gary at In Turning Point, right after the gallbladder incident.
Yes.
If we remember the gallbladder. Right after that, I met Gary, and I was actually coming to Turning Point for like a restoration thing. I was involved in a mission in Allentown, kind of doing what we do now.
Yeah.
But, after that, we've been, it was an instant family when I met the DeRosa. As soon as I met him, I was literally the cousin Vinny. And, man, it's just the journey with Gary and his family have been awesome for me. But it's, I like what you say about that umbrella with the sin and the umbrella of sin. We got to put that away to receive them blessings, man. That was my testimony. It's like, as soon as I came to Christ in 2004, but I think I walked my walk with that umbrella of sin because it was comfortable for me. You know, you get comfortable in that sin, and because, I mean, it's easy to do bad because it comes so natural, right? That's our natural, you know what I mean? That's our natural state. But the truth is we're made in His image, and I don't need to live like that. I don't need that security blanket of, you know, well, what am I going to do? You know, I'm the kind of guy, you know, I put off all this craziness, you know what I mean? The world's saying, oh, my God, what? Jail, drugs. Crime, all this. I'm from Philadelphia, so it's a little different than Connecticut too. but you know, I always had to have that little secret something. You know what I mean? To hold on. And it wasn't until I learned to like truly surrender and truly put that umbrella away. That's really when the blessings started to come, and I started to really live that fulfilled life in Christ that, you know, what people talking about, because I didn't really experience, I would experience moments of that real joy and that real peace, but it was just fleeting moments. Like my life altogether, I'd still have this reoccurring going back to that old man, you know, and I always ask myself, why do I, and I find myself in another program, back in another detox, another mental ward, another something, but what's going on? I gave my life to you, Christ. It was true. It was honest. But, you know, and it took, didn't really happen suddenly for me. It's like over years of, you know, here you go again. Yeah, here you go, man. Dust you back off. Get back into ministry. And then I go back out to the world. All right, I'd be cleaned up and polished off. Walk in, you know, go lucky with Christ again, and then I want to go back out into the world. I got to make money. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know what I mean? The worries, and instead of just truly trusting Him and truly surrendering my life and my will over to His care and saying, "You got this, Lord." I don't. You know what I mean? Every time I put these hands into it, it's like, you know, end up back at the beginning. You know. So I just want, you know what I mean. If anything, my testimony is just another sinner saved by grace, a lot of it. But, if it's anything, I just want to thank Jesus. I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior today, that I can say that, I don't need anything else in my life. I just, it really is a trust and an absolute surrender to Him. So, other than that,
And that's the key thing is you truly, truly have to have faith. If I sat home and started figuring out bills and money and how am I paying for this and how am I I'd go nuts. But I know God's got it. I know He didn't bring me here, put me here to be put in ministry to end up back where I was. I know He's got a bigger and better plan for me. I know He's right there with me. I know everything's going to work out. And I wholeheartedly give my heart over to Him, and I know He's got everything planned out for me, and I have no worries because I'm a King's King, and He's my Father in heaven, and I know He's going to watch over me and protect me no matter what goes on. And I know He's always going to be there. It just amazes me about the things that He's been putting in place and showing me things, and, you know, just like He was showing me about being able to preach here, and, you know, I went to a church about 2 years ago when I was in Turning Point, and they had a big prophet to come out, and, you know, he speaks over individuals, and, you know, he called me out, and he said, you know, call me out, and he said, you know, God, God wants you to come out. He wants you to come out. Basically, he was telling me he wants me to come out of my shell, because really who I am is, when you do see me outside or out and around, is I'm the most quietest guy you'll meet. I don't, you know, that's just the way I was brought up. I was very shy, very quiet. You know, I didn't speak unless spoken to. I was just very humble, quiet, and meek. And, you know, God says the meek and the humble will inherit the earth. So I know my Father in heaven is with me and will always be with me. And I mean, it's just, I sometimes you can't even put it into words. You know, he's just truly amazing, and what he does is just total awesomeness. He really, really, really is. But and further than that, I mean, I really don't have much left after this as far as my testimony and what we've been doing, but how much time is left?
Oh, we can be done if you
okay.
Want to,
yeah, you want to, yeah, you want to have somebody come up and, yeah, play a little bit on the keyboard or...
And then you can just open it up for anybody.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yep, okay.
The keyboard people are all teaching down.
Oh!
People.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to humbly come before your throne, Father God, and we just want to be servants unto you, Father God, and we just want to be able to draw closer near to you. We just want to go deeper into you, Father, deeper into your word, Father God, and to just to dwell with you and sup with you, Father, on our hearts, Father God. And we ask for the people out there in the world, Father, that you'll watch over them and protect them. People that drive by this church, Father, that they may get healed and saved, Father God. That they may come into this church and be drawn into this church. Let this church be a light unto you, Father God. Let it be the spotlight, Father, that people want to dwell and come to, Father, and just to come to meet you. Because you are the true Father, and there's no other better than you, Father God. And we just want to pray over the church. We want to pray over Pastor Bob, that he's away, that you'll watch over him, protect him, watch over the armor bearers, Father God, that you may cover them and wash them and cleanse them with your blood of Jesus, that may no hurt or harm or come to them, Father God. And we just want to pray over the children that are in Children's Church, Father God, that you'll watch over them and protect them and just be there, be their guidance, Father God. And in your son's name, Jesus, amen. Thank you. Thank you for letting me come out and speak, guys. I'm truly, truly honored and blessed.